This morning, I would like to speak specifically to God's people, spiritual Israel, Jerusalem, those who God has given the gift of faith, those who God has revealed the truth concerning His darling Son, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Those who know their state before a thrice holy God, those who struggle with sin of the flesh, and the righteousness found only in their Savior. If you have been called out of the darkness that was our very nature, called into the light that all the fullness of God dwelleth in Christ Jesus, that He, the God-man, God in human flesh, rules over all things seen and all things not seen, then this morning, I have a message designed for you. Turn over to Isaiah chapter 40, if you would, please. We sing a song that says, "This world is not my home. I'm just passing through." Just like Abraham did not have a home. You recall Abraham was sent out and the Lord said, "I will guide you." And he went out and lived in tents for many, many, many years. This world is not our home. We're just passing through. The people of God must walk through this valley of the shadow of death on our path to our real home, a home that is laid up in heaven, where our Savior has prepared mansions for all of His elect. Every child of God in every nation, from every tongue, must go through this battle between the flesh and the spirit. We do what we shouldn't, and we don't do what we should. Each and every one of God's people understand Paul's words when he wrote in 1 Timothy, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." Paul, a man who was used of God in mighty ways to write many books, books that weren't only just for that time, but books that are throughout time, speaking to all of God's people. Speaking to me, speaking to you. This very verse speaks to all of God's people. We know that we're the chief of sinners. There's nobody here any worse than me. There's nobody out there who's any worse than me. And the reason for that is because I see my sin. Only two people can look on the hearts of men. That's the man himself and God. I can't see your sin. But I do see my own. I see my own faults, my own weaknesses, my own unbelief. Lord, help me. Help thou my unbelief, Paul says. Help me when I feel weak in the flesh, which is often. In fact, usually 5 minutes after walking out of a message. Sometimes even less. But Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Every one of us, every one of God's elect, every one of those who were written in the book of life before the world was ever made, every one of those who God has loved from eternity past to eternity forever. He says, "My love is everlasting." That means it goes back before time started and it'll go till time is over. Every one of us are brought to an understanding that there is nothing good in the flesh. We see the sin that is of our flesh and we cry out, "Lord, please remove this thorn of my flesh." Yet the Lord, in loving words, unlike Saul, the king, who said, "If you don't come to me, I'll cut up all your animals." Our Lord, in loving words, because He really has loved His people, in a love that we can't even understand. We just get a little teeny picture of what true love is. Yet our Lord in loving words speaks back to us through the preaching of His gospel. He says, "Peace, be still." The storm is raging around the boat right now, the very boat that we walk in, that we live in. Some of us have just gone through a huge storm. A mighty storm. Yet our Lord said, "Peace, be still. I got it all worked out. I'm working everything out according to my purpose." That's what He says to me when I'm just stressed out completely. "John, calm down. I got this. I'll take care of the battle that you wanted, that you can't fight." And then He tells us, "My grace is sufficient for thee. My grace is sufficient for thee." Those words need to sink into every one of God's people's hearts, because they remind us that this battle that we have in this world has already been fought by the Creator of everything, by He who went to the cross and shed His own blood, perfect blood, powerful blood. The battle for His people has been won. He calms the storms of life by revealing to the hearts of His chosen, He is God. There is no other before Him. There are no other gods. There's only one. And all the fullness of the Godhead dwelleth in Him, the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, we do. We do recognize and look to the three, the great Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, but all three persons are of one mind, perfect, set on one purpose to get that one thing done, and that is to save God's elect to the fullest, to the uttermost. He is sovereign ruler over every detail, this one that we call Jesus. He created everything, as it says in the book of John 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And all that is created was created by Him and for Him." For Him, not for us, for Him. Every dot, every tittle, all things are for His pleasure and according to His purpose. And He brings peace to His people through the preaching of His Word, through the preaching of this very thing, that He is God and is all working all things out. As I sit back and watch the chaos that goes on in our government here in this country, I can't take any peace that's going on here. Look at them acting like children's up there, our leader. Children, just... I was wondering if that was going to happen. People, through the preaching of His Word, preachers are sent out to speak about His words, about His works, what He has done for His people. Sinners that are saved by His grace are sent out to speak about His grace to sinners who need His grace. Is there anyone here today who doesn't need the grace of God? Is there anyone here who thinks they have what it takes to get by on their own? And we who are sent out to speak to sinners who need grace, we speak of His Word and His Word alone. I've shared this with you before, but it bears repeating. I've been to a church where they spoke of the wonderful things that they did for the community. And I sat in the pew and wondered, where is Jesus? Oh, I would hear the words of, "Well, we do this in the name of Jesus." A lot of people do stuff in the name of Jesus. What I want to hear is what Jesus has done for me. What I want to need to hear is the grace of Him who loves me. Are you with me in Isaiah, verse 40? Let's begin in verse 1. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortable to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double of all her sins. This is our commandment. We bring the only comfort that is truly out there, and that is that Christ has come and saved his people from the wrath to come. I'm here this morning to tell you that Christ has saved his people. There is no question about it. When he went to that cross and laid down his life and shed his own blood for his people, it accomplished exactly what it was set out to do. There's no ifs. There's no empty seats in heaven. When it's all over, every seat shall have every one of God's elect written. Those names that were written on the book of life shall be all sitting in those chairs, praising their Savior for what He has done for them. There is no other way that you cannot fight the curse of sin on your own. When sin came into the world, God cursed all that is, everything. Everything we see, even the beauty of God's creation, is going to be burned up. You can't put new wine in an old bag. The old bag will ruin it. He cursed all that is. Everything seen must be destroyed. It must be burned up. It must be put away. For the God of all creation is holy, perfect in every way, so holy that he cannot even look upon imperfection. And every one of us know our imperfections, don't we? Yes, we do. We all know what we are as far as imperfections are concerned. We see our hearts. We see our deeds. We see our thoughts. So does God. So how do we bring comfort to His chosen, His people, as it is written? How do I bring comfort? How do I give you comfort? Especially after talking about your imperfections and how you see them. What comforts John when he sees his own imperfections? Look again at verse 2. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished. Jerusalem, people of God, God's chosen people, his elect, your warfare is accomplished. What better words could we have? We don't have to fight that battle anymore. God has done it for us in his Son, the Lord Jesus. Your warfare is accomplished. It's done. My title for this message is Jerusalem, Your Warfare is Accomplished, if you haven't figured that out by now. The battle is done. Our King has fought the battle for us, and it is accomplished. Interestingly enough, we're in the book of Samuel, and we're talking about that very thing right now, aren't we? Israel had a king, the king of all kings, yet they didn't want that king. They rejected that king. Even after that king had just won a battle, very simply by saying, lightning strike, and such a big clap it scared everybody to death, and they ran away. But all I want to look at this morning, something that I really believe comforts me when I think of the battles that we must go through. You know, quite honestly, folks, this pest thing that we're having is a battle we have to go through. I stressed, what are we going to do? All of a sudden, the Lord says, John, set it up outside. And here we are, and he gave us great weather for it. See how the Lord works and fights our own battles? Even this little minor thing that we have? This is the God that we worship. One who works everything out. for our good. The word accomplished means this. The dictionary description of it is to fill, be full, be full of. In a wide application, it also means literally and figuratively to accomplish, confirm, to consecrate, to be in an end, to be expired, be fenced in, filled, fulfilled, fully, furnished, gathered, presumed, replenished, satisfied. It's a whole lot of words that word means, isn't it? Have wholly done. Or I like this way, as I put it, or in layman's terms, it is finished. Can't get any more comfortable than that. It's done. That's exactly what our Savior said when he gave up the ghost on that cross a little over 2,000 years ago. It is finished. There is nothing left to do. Salvation for God's people is accomplished. The last part of verse 2, we read there that her iniquity, the iniquity of Jerusalem, the iniquity of all of God's people, all of our shortcomings, all of our sins, not just the ones we've committed, but the ones we're going to commit next. The very sins that will come to us before the Lord takes us out of this world. Every single one. All that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received the Lord's hand double of all her sins. When Christ the Lord died on that cross, he took every sin that every child of God has ever committed or ever will commit, and our sins were buried with him, to be remembered no more, to be gone as far as the east is from the west. Death, though, could not hold him there. He arose a victor, champion, captain over death and hell. He left the sins of ours behind, buried from God's sight forever. Our warfare is accomplished. We can stop trying to work our way into heaven. That doesn't mean that we should just give up on doing good things. If God is in you to do something good, then do it. I know this, that when God wants you to do something, he's going to bring you around to you doing it. That's part of being in control of everything, isn't it? He guides men just as he does rivers. The hearts of men go just where the Lord wants them to go. Henry Mahan wrote this about verse 2. What shall I say to this people to comfort them, he says. What is the believer's source of greatest comfort? It is the good news of the gospel, is it not? Cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, it says. The battle is over, and thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. All our enemies have been engaged by our captain, and they are conquered, and shall soon be under our feet, as they are under his right now. The enemy of sin is conquered. The enemy of Satan is conquered. The enemy of self. The enemy of self is kind of the worst one of all, I think. We were just talking about that earlier, how quick we are to forget. How quick we are to forget what we are before God. And we start thinking about ourselves as being something. That's the enemy of self. Or the enemy of the world. Her iniquity is pardoned. All our sins, past, present, and future, are blotted out, cleansed, atoned for, and are remembered no more. The redeemed have no sins. With his spotless garments on, they are as holy as God's Son. I just can't wrap my mind around that. I try. Pastor Gene has been preaching that to us for so long. We are as white as Christ himself. He has given us his righteousness. not anything that we have done, not anything in our own flesh, but in Him. We are as white as He is. God could not look upon us if it wasn't so. Isn't that correct? The only way He can look upon His people is through the blood of His Son, the Lord Jesus. The perfect sacrificial blood that was bled on the cross. Double for all her sins, it says. This denotes the sufficiency of His blood and the complete satisfaction made by Christ for all our sins. Not that more was required than was due, but His offering by infinite, fully answers more than double what we can be, what could be demanded. So where sin did overflow, grace did much more overflow. Oh, for the grace of God. Our warfare is accomplished. We have rest in the works of our Savior. Turn over to Hebrews 4, if you would, please. And while you're turning there, allow me to read from Matthew 11:28. It says, our Lord is speaking. He's speaking out. He's speaking out with the power of His Word. And He says, come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn of Me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Our Lord sends out a general call to all of mankind. In Acts 16:31 it says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That's a call that goes out to all mankind. But who are those that will believe? God calls them My elect. He calls them My people. Oh, how often we read in the Old Testament, they will be My people and I will be their God. It doesn't say maybe, or maybe some will come to Me, maybe some won't. They will be My people and I will be their God. That's a commandment. Isn't everything our Lord says a commandment? You see, you must be born again. That's what He said. That's what He said. You must be born again. Not maybe, not whatever. And I want to know how many here, everybody raise their hand, who had anything to do with their own birth. You see, life comes from God and from God alone. How dare us kill babies? Life comes from God. And ye must be born again. God comes to each and every one of His people in the day of love and with the power of God, and He quickens them. He makes them alive, giving life to the dead. And through the preaching of His Word, they too will find rest in the Son of the living God. He shall be called Jesus, for He shall save His people. Many will hear the word preached, but few will believe. Are you with me in Hebrews 4? Begin reading at verse 1, if you would, verses 1 and 2. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us in entered into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Oh, how many people hear the word of God spoken of, but don't hear with the ears of the heart, because their heart is dead. You can't give life to your own heart. God gives life. The word must be mixed with faith. If you hear me speaking here this morning, the word of God, it must be mixed with the gift of faith that God, only God can give. And remember what the word says in Ephesians 2, it says, faith is a gift of God. Salvation is of the Lord. That's in another verse. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. All of salvation is of the Lord. and we rest in His work, all of it. Our warfare is accomplished. We have no confidence in the flesh. We don't trust in anything of ourselves, not even our belief. We only trust in Him and His word to us. And He has promised. And that's where our trust is in His promises. We rest in His promises that He has a people that were given unto Him before the world was. We trust that He completely and fully saved this people. Not just a little bit, not just waiting for them to do their part, but He completely and fully saved His people to the uttermost. By the sacrificing of Himself for their sins, to the satisfaction of Himself. The blood that was shed on the cross was His own blood. It paid the debt in full. All for whom the Father had given Him shall come to Him. These are promises that cannot be thwarted in any way. We have a perfect rest in our Savior. Look at verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so... Wait a minute. Wrong chapter. Verse 3. For we which, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from before, from the foundation of the world. God looked from the beginning of all times, before the world was ever made, He looked down and He saw the blood that was shed on the cross. He saw His Son, and He knows that His Son does everything perfect. And He knows that His Son would do everything that would please Him. And He saw the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. For He spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all His works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein. There's still some out here, folks. We still have hope for our loved ones. But our hope is only in God alone. Our hope can only be in what Christ has done for His people and what He will do for His people. He shall call His people. And they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again, He limited to the certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts. Hear the word of God. Hear the word of God. Your warfare is accomplished. It's done. For if Jesus hath given them the rest, then they would have not afterward have spoken of another day. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into His rest, you who have entered into the rest of Christ Himself, also hath ceased from His own works. As God did from His, that was spoken of in verse 7 or verse 3. God the Father promised a people to His Son. God the Son promised to save His people. God the Spirit has promised good to those who believe. Jerusalem, people of God, God's elect, Jerusalem, your warfare is accomplished. It's finished. Rest in the Son of the living God. Rest in the finished works of Jesus Christ our Lord. He has promised good to all who love Him, to them that are called. That's what Brother Darrell read in Romans 8. To them that are called. Folks, if the Lord Jesus Christ has called you, if He has spoken to your heart through the preaching of His word, then you have something sure to stand on. His promises. And He has promised good to us, hasn't He, Darrell? Exactly what you read in that verse. All things are for our good. Even the pestilence of bugs. Or the parting of the way of brothers. Even that, as sad as it may be. And then, even that is for our good. We may not see the good in all that the Lord brings our way, but He has said it so. And if our God has said it so, then it is so. I'd like you to stand with